Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Good morning. My name is Don. I'm one of the pastors here at First Church. It's great to be here this morning. Today we continue our series on those people. You know, those people. The scripture this morning is found in the Old Testament from the book of Judges. Hear God's word. This is Delilah speaking to Samson. She said, "How can you say I love you when you won't even trust me? Three times now you toyed with me like a cat with a mouse, refusing to tell me the secret of your great strength." She kept at it day after day, nagging and tormenting him. Finally, he was fed up. He couldn't take another minute. He spilled it. He told her, "A razor has never touched my head. I've been God's Nazirite from conception. If I were shaved, my strength would leave me. I would be as helpless as any other mortal." When Delilah realized that he had told her his secret, she sent for the Philistine tyrants, telling them, "Come quickly. This time he's told me the truth." They came, bringing the bribe money. When she got him to sleep, his head on her lap, she motioned to a man to cut off the 7 braids of his hair. Immediately he began to grow weak, his strength drained from him. This ends the reading of God's holy word. Let's pray. God, thanks for this day. Thank you that we have an opportunity to come to worship you. We rejoice in the fact that you love us, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about manipulation today with those people, and I have to tell you, the guy that's usually up here, that guy, those people, yeah, thank you. I'm here on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and John and I, that guy that's usually up here, we normally come over Tuesday or Thursdays to see what's going on, you know, see the construction and how they're making the improvements and everything. It's really neat to see. So we were over here a couple weeks ago one day, and we're walking around, and so we go through that door, get downstairs, and we're going through the youth room. John said, "Just go out through the youth door." I said, "John, it doesn't work. It's not ready yet. We have to go through Connie's, through the children's area." He said, no, it's fine. It'll be all right. Just go through that way. I said, "John, it's dark. I can't even see." He said, "Don't worry. It'll be fine." Yeah. So I'm like this because it is dark. And he goes, "Just keep going. There's a door there." I said, "John, I know there's a door there, but it doesn't work. I think it's bolted shut." He goes, "No, it's not. It's fine." So I finally found the door. I pushed it open, and I took a step. And I heard that sound, that distinct sound, that bad sound, that not good sound. I felt that not good feeling. This is what I felt. That's my shoe. I didn't take the picture. The man who was rolling on the ground laughing took the picture. He manipulated me. And I don't get mad, but I get even. So we're talking about manipulation today, to contrive, to defraud, to dupe, to fleece, to fool, to hoodwink, to hustle, to plot, to swindle, to trick. Now, growing up, and I still do, I have 2 older sisters, and they just gave me a hard time growing up. I don't know why, because I'm very shy and timid, and I've never done anything to anybody, and yeah. Anyway, my 2 older sisters gave me a hard time, and especially my oldest one. She's about 10 years older than I am. This is how she did manipulation to her baby brother, who never hurt a fly. She would intentionally, almost every day, forget her lunch at school. And she knew that I had this little bike, 2-wheeler, no training wheels, thank you very much. When I was 5, and man, I could fly on that bicycle, she would intentionally forget her lunch, and my grandmother would say, "Oh, Donna forgot her lunch, Don take the lunch to school. And her class was right in front of the school, all the windows there, and they thought this was the cutest thing in the world, seeing this little kid ride up with a bicycle with her lunch. They just loved that. That's how they abused me. And I don't get mad, but I'll get even with her someday. Anyway, when we're talking about those people and manipulation, there are some tactics that people use if they want to manipulate. Just a couple of tactics. Number one, threats. They'll say something like, you know, I'll stop giving you the money if you don't do what I want. You'll never see that grandchild again if you stop giving me that money. If you don't do this, I'm not going to do that. It's that example I used, I think, a while back about the youth director who had these kids in sixth grade, and what he would do every year when the sixth graders came up, they were getting ready to join the church. He would take them down to a cave, deep, dark. They'd all each have a flashlight, all had them on, and he would get to the very bottom of the cave. He would collect the flashlights, turn them off, and say, if you accept Jesus, I'll give you your flashlight back. Let me tell you, I would be first in line to accept Jesus. I don't even know what he is or who he is, but I would do it to get a flashlight back. That would be a definite threat. Another one would be guilt. You know, a loving person would never treat anybody like that. A number of years ago, when Debbie and I lived in Miami, we were at Taco Bell, and we were eating. I noticed this guy was sitting there in the restaurant, not eating, just sitting there, and he was watching us. So we finished eating, and we got up, and he came right over to me and said, hi, how are you? And I said, fine. And he said, you live around here? I said, no. He said, I do, but I don't have a place to live. And I said, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. He said, do you work? And I said, yes. He goes, I don't have a job. I said, I'm sorry. He said, where do you work? And as a mistake, I said, the church. He went, you work at a church? And he said, do you have any money? I said, yes. He said, will you just give it to me? And being, you know, pastor, nice guy, said, no. But as always, I said, I would be glad to buy you a meal. Now, Debbie and I just finished eating. He said, you'll buy me a meal? I said, sure. He said, what will you buy me? I said, well, I don't know what you want. Just order what you want. So he's looking up, you know, at the sign up there, Taco Bell. And he's looking, looking, looking. And I said, you okay? And he said, I'm just trying to find the most expensive thing. So he found it, a combination meal. It cost more than Debbie and I together, but that's okay. So I paid the bill, and the lady was giving me the change, and he said, I'll just take the change. I said, excuse me? He said, well, you have money, so just give me the change. I said, no, that's not going to happen today, and I'm tempted just to cancel the order, but I didn't. You know, if you want to have some fun someday, go in a restaurant, sit down, eat, and just call your waiter, waitress over and say, you see that couple over there? You don't even know this couple at all. And say, I'm going to pay for their meal. But don't tell them who it is. Just tell them there's somebody in the restaurant that really cares about you and wants to buy you a meal. And then just do it. It is so much fun because these people are looking out, figuring out who it is, and it's my sick mind, sorry. I just another tactic that people that use manipulation, they use is that they play victim. No one loves me. No one helps me. I'll probably be living under the bridge by the end of the week. Or they use intimidation. They use their power. A number of years ago, when I was doing youth ministry, I had a girl in the youth group, very intelligent girl. As I love to do to kids, to say, like, so what do you want to do? After school, after college, what do you want to do? And she said, without blinking, she said, eye doctor. I said, oh, that's great. But before I got that's great out, she said, but I can't. I said, why not? She said, my dad. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, my dad told me that girls can't be doctors. I said, what? Yeah, my dad said that girls can't be doctors. And so I had a chance to talk with a little bit more. But that night I called her mom, and her mom came to see me the next day in my office, and she walked in the office, and she sort of had a feeling what was going on. She started crying, and we talked a little bit, and she said, I'll be right back. And she left, and she came back with a rifle and said, would you hide this? And I said, sure. And she said, you don't understand. My husband just constantly intimidates us. He beats me. He hits me. Verbal abuse to the girls. There was two daughters. This guy, and we didn't know this, but this guy taught Sunday school and everything. And every Sunday morning, they would pull into the parking lot of the church, and as they were getting out of the car, he would say, remember, do not say anything that I did or said this week, because if you do, it'll be worse tomorrow. Fortunately, we got her into shelter and her girls that night. Another thing, that tactic that people that manipulate use, is the blame shift. You know, it's not my fault. You must have made that mistake, not me. It's your fault. People will use these tactics and more to get what they want. Do not drop your guard. Do not go to sleep spiritually. Pray, study, constantly walk with God. There's a passage in 2 Timothy which speaks to this. And it's just amazing that 2 Timothy, written about 2,000 years ago, roughly, says these words. Don't be naive. There will be difficult times. People will be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust, and allergic to God. They will make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they are animals. Stay clear of these people. Wow. You know what the opposite of manipulation is? It's also found in the Bible. It's found in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians, where it says, love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or conceited or proud. It's not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. And it doesn't keep record of wrongs. It doesn't fly off the handle. It isn't always me first. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. And doesn't revel when others have to grovel. And it takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. It puts up with everything. It trusts God always. It always looks for the best. That's the opposite of manipulation. It's the antithesis of manipulation. In our scripture passage this morning, Delilah persisted. Delilah nagged. Delilah lied. Delilah manipulated Samson. You see, earlier in this story, you probably know the story, but there was a plot to kill Samson. And these people just wanted to kill him. And so they were trying to find a way, because he found out about the plot. He tore down the city gates and drug him away. I mean, this man was strong. And so they wanted to kill him, and that's what this is all about. But today, Satan is still in the business of persistence. Satan today is still in the business of nagging, and today, Satan is still in the business of lying to you. Now, although Samson was anointed, although Samson was chosen by God, unfortunately, while he was very, very strong physically, he was very, very weak spiritually. Now, to be fair, when we're talking about manipulation and those people, maybe we need to look in the mirror this morning. Maybe we all should look in the mirror and figure out and ask ourselves, maybe we manipulate other people. Maybe we do that to get what we want. Maybe we manipulate to feel better about ourselves. Has our manipulation demonstrated a lack of regard for God's law? Has our manipulation demonstrated a lack of regard for God's way? In your family, is what you're doing consistent with Scripture? In your family, what you're saying, is it consistent with Scripture? In your work, is what you're doing consistent with Scripture? In your work, what words you use, are they consistent with Scripture? With your friends, what you're doing, is it consistent with Scripture? With your friends, what you're saying to each other, is it consistent with Scripture? And when you're alone, is what you're doing consistent with Scripture? When there's a debate between what you want to do or what you want to say and what Scripture directs you to do or say, allow Scripture always to win. Delilah manipulated for money, for silver, 5,500 pieces of silver. God's word says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Speaking of manipulation, we're talking about other people manipulating you, and then I talked about maybe you manipulate somebody else. There's one other area in manipulation, though, that I need to mention. Maybe today, currently, you're manipulating yourself. You're attempting to convince yourself that what you're doing is not too bad. Others do it. It's only a little lie I'm doing or I'm saying. Friends have done the same thing and have gotten away with it. Friends have done worse and they didn't get caught. Are your desires controlling or manipulating you? You see, rationalization is the first cousin to manipulation. But finally, some good news, and again, I call it great news. Four words: God does not manipulate. Rather, God gives us free choice. There's a great verse in the Bible. I think it's the entire Bible in one verse. And it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Look at this verse for a few minutes. It starts out by saying, "For wages." Okay, wages, we know what they are. It's something that you earn. At the end of the week, your employer gives you a paycheck. You deserve that. You worked the 40 hours or whatever it was, and you get a paycheck. That's yours. You deserve it. You earned it. It's yours. Well, the next word in that verse says sin, and that's something that we all are very good at. We all make those mistakes. We made them yesterday. We will make them today. We will make them tomorrow. So when we're looking at this verse, we have to think, what is sin's wage? Well, the Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. And what is death? That's being apart from God for eternity. If that verse ended right there, for the wages of sin is death, and that's where the verse ended, you and I would be in a load of trouble. But, the Bible says, but, it's a great but, there's a gift for you. And gift is the opposite of wage. Wage is something you earn. You deserve it. A gift you don't buy, you don't pay for it. Somebody gives you a gift. It's free. When you accept it, you receive it. So there's a gift coming, and it's from God, which is the opposite of sin. God cannot sin. It's impossible. And so there's a gift coming from God who knows you better than you know yourself. So it must be a great gift, and the gift is, the Bible says, eternal life. Where death is total separation from God for eternity, eternal life with God is with God forever. We simply need to accept the gift. The gift doesn't become yours until you accept it. And then when we accept it, we make Jesus Lord of our life. You see, no matter how many times you've been manipulated in your life, No matter how many times you have done the manipulation, no matter how many times you have manipulated yourself, we serve a God that is full of grace. We serve a God that is full of mercy. We serve a God that is full of love. And we serve a God that is full of forgiveness. Because the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. They are gone. Today would be a fantastic, great day to accept that gift. Remember what I said, it's free choice. God does not manipulate us to, you have to do this. He wants us. His great desire is for us to be in a relationship with him for eternity, but he will not force us. He offers a gift. We need to accept it. That's all we need to do. And like I said, to make him Lord of our lives. Today would be that great day to do that. If you've never done that, if you've never accepted that gift, today would be a great day to do that. I would love to talk to you about that during this closing song, afterwards, however, but talk to somebody about receiving, accepting that gift from God. It's a free gift. We don't pay for gifts. Gifts that are given to us are free. God does not manipulate us. Why? Only one reason. Because he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for giving us free choice. Thank you, God, for loving us so very, very much. We rejoice in the fact that you do love us, that you care for us, that we're created by you, that we're loved by you, and that you're here for us for always. You always stand beside us. And to accept that gift, we only have to say, yes, please, God. We pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, christ.com.